The Gemara is dealing with the question of how do we define this halacha that a worker is allowed to snack in the field. The question was, is that defined as Mishel Shamayim Hu Ochel, that he's eating from God? It's really God's. God is letting him eat. It's a gift from God, like Lechet Shikropeya. Or maybe Mishalohu Ochel, that God makes the worker get an added aspect to his wage. He's also, besides the pay, part of his pay is that he is entitled to snack in the field. So that was the topic that the Gemara was discussing. How do we define this halacha of the worker getting from the field? And so that's what we're up to. We'll start with the Tashma, sort of, I guess, a third of the way up on Sadi Beis Amud Beis. So Tashma, coming here, a proof from the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says, Kotzeitz Adam al Yidei Atzmo. A person can make a deal for himself. He can tell the employer, I won't eat from the field, and in return, instead of you paying me $20, you'll pay me $22. He can do the same al yedei beno bito agdolim. He can do the same for his son or daughter who are adults. He can tell the employer, my son and daughter will not take the lunch that they're entitled to from the grapes in the field, but you'll give them a little bit more of a wage. Al yedei avdo v'shivchasu agdolim. If it's his slave, male or female, working in the field, he can do the same. And he can do the same for his wife, because they all have das. So when they hear that someone on their behalf had agreed to a deal, that instead of them having the right to get the food in the field, they're going to get paid a little bit more. They agreed to it. They waived their right. However, but he can't make such a deal for the sake of his son or daughter who are minors who are working in the field, nor for his slaves, male or female, who are minors in the field, nor for the animal. He can't say, okay, you'll give me $25 for renting my animal, but the animal can be muzzled while it threshes. That he can't do, because they don't have das. So the Gemara says like this, Kasal Kadaitach, our thought is that all these cases in the Mishnah of these minors is Bimala Lahan Mizonos. When this adult who's trying to make a deal on behalf of the minors and the behalf of his wife is the one feeding them. He's giving them food. So therefore, since he's giving them food generally, whatever they work, whatever they earn really is his. So now, if you say that the right to get to snack on the food while in the field is a heavenly gift, that's why he, the father of this minor or the owner of these minor slaves, can't make a deal on their behalf because it's a godly gift that God gives to them. He has no rights to it. But if you're going to say that the definition of a worker eating the stuff in the field is that God is adding to the wage of the worker, so even if it's a child working in the field, so the wage that the child had been promised by the employer is 20. God says, okay, besides the 20, the child gets to eat from whatever, you know, grain or grapes he's cutting at the end of the working process, as we've been learning for the last few days, and that's added to the wage. So if that's added to the wage, since the father is the one feeding the child all the time, the father's entitled to all of the child's wages. So the father's entitled to that added wage. So why can't the father renegotiate and say, listen, instead of my getting the food for the worker, I'd rather just have more. Instead of you paying the child 20, pay him 22. Why can't the father negotiate? Because after all, it's all part of the wage. And the father's entitled to all of the wage because he's the one giving the food. Says the Gemara, Achab Mayaskinan, B'Shein Ma'al Emezonos. The case of this Mishnah is where the father is not giving food to the child who's out in the field working. So since the father is not giving food to the child, so the father is not entitled to the wage. So it's really the child's wage. Okay, the father can't forgive for the child. The child, it's the child's wage, and the child doesn't have the ability of forgiving. If that's the case, so that the father is not feeding, so gdolim nami. So even when the child is an adult, why can the father renegotiate and say, you'll pay more, but we won't eat? The answer is, because gdolim yadi v'kamachli. If it's the child is an adult, the child knows, and hears the father make this negotiation, and the adult child agreed to it. So he was mochel. He forgave his rights to get the food at the end. But with a child, not. Asks the Gemara of Tani Reb Hoshea, but Reb Hoshea taught in a braisa a little bit differently than the Mishnah. Reb Hoshea taught like this: Kotzitz adam al yedei atzmo val yedei ishto. A man can renegotiate and for himself or for his wife say, I won't eat from the stuff at the end of the field, but you'll pay me a little bit more. My wife won't eat when she works, but you'll pay her a little bit more. But he can't do so for his son and daughter who are adults. He can't do so for his animal working in the field. And he can't do so for his children who are minors who are working in the field. But he can make a deal for his slaves working in the field, whether they are adults or they are minors. So now, my love, idi b'mal elahen mizonos. Presumably both this Mishnah and the Braisa that are arguing about slaves are talking about where the master is feeding the slaves. And here's the argument. Mar savar mishalohu ochel. The Mishnah holds that the definition of the added eating is that it's part of the wage. And since it's part of the wage, so once the master is giving the food to the slave, the master is entitled to all of the wage. And that's where the master can renegotiate that's what the braisa holds. That's where the master can renegotiate that, you know, instead of my slave being able to eat, you'll just pay us more. So that's because he's giving them food. Umar Savar, whereas the Mishnah holds, Mishel Shamaimu Ochel, that the slave who's the worker is entitled to the food that he's working on only as a gift from heaven. And since it's a gift from heaven, the master cannot renegotiate it. So when it says, lo, tukuli al mishalo ochel, everybody agrees that the worker's eating is part of the wage. For lo kasha, but there's not a contradiction. Kan b'shein malahen mizonos. The Mishnah is talking about where he can't renegotiate on behalf of the slaves of his who are minors because he's not giving them food. So since he's not giving them food, so he's not entitled to their work. The Bryce had said he could negotiate even for the slaves who are minors, but Ma'alul and Mizonos, when he's giving them food, and since he's giving them food, he's entitled to their work. So the Gemara said, but Mayu Kimta, how did you explain it? But Ma'alul and Mizonos, that he's giving them food. Iachi, if that's the case, that he's giving them food for his own children too. So let him also be able to renegotiate on behalf of his own children because he's giving them food. So the Gemara answers, when halacha allows a person to the rights, halacha grants the rights to the father of the wages of his child because he's feeding his child, he's entitled to the wages of his child, but he's not entitled to torture his child. Hashem never gave him permission to inflict pain on the child. So it's painful for a child who's out in the field to be working with stuff and not be able to snack. He's told, oh, but you're going to be paid more later. He doesn't understand that. It's painful for the child. So that Hashem never allowed him to do. So the Gemara asks, Mayu Kintala Masnisin, how did you explain our Mishnah? Bishain Ma'ala Mizonos. That when he is not giving the food to the children and the slaves. And that's why he can't renegotiate and say, we won't collect the food because you'll pay us more, even though that normal food is part of the wage. Okay, Hanicha Laman D'Amar, that's fine. According to the opinion in Gittin, Ein Arav Yachal Omer La'Eved, a master can't tell a slave, Aseimi, you keep working, Ein Izancha, even though I'm not going to give you food. So shapir. So then, that's fine. The Mishnah says that there's a difference between adult slaves and minor slaves, because we're talking about a case where the master is not feeding them anymore. Well, since he's not feeding them anymore, he's not entitled to their labor. Since he's not entitled to their labor, so the adult slaves, he can renegotiate on their behalf, because they can hear and they'll be mochel. But minors who can't be mochel, he can't negotiate on their behalf. But El Laman Damer wrote, according to the opinion in Gittin, Yachal Rav Lomar Le'evet Aseimi Veini Zancha, that part of owning a slave is the ability to tell the slave, you keep working even though I'm not giving you food. So now Ma'ikal Amemar, so even if the slave is a minor, so what, that the master's not giving him food? Bottom line, the master could tell any slave, work for me even though I won't give you food. So that means the labor of this slave belongs to the master. So if it belongs to the master, and you say that the added fruit that a laborer eats is part of the wage, so the wage belongs to the master, because the labor belongs to the master. So let the master be able to renegotiate even for a child. So my answer is, Ella, so you have to say, Idi v'idi b'shein ma'alehen mezonos, both the Mishnah, which made a distinction between slaves who are minors or slaves who are adults, and the Brisa that said that in both cases the master can renegotiate, are talking about where the master is not giving food. This is also part of the argument. Mar Savar Yachal, according to the Brisa, a master can say, you keep working for me even though I'm not going to give you food. So therefore, since a slave owes his labor to the master, even when the master is not giving food, so that's why, even when the slave is a minor, the master can negotiate on his behalf and say, okay, we're gonna waive the rights to eat, but we're going to get paid more. Umar Savar, whereas the Mishnah holds, Ein Yachol, the master doesn't have that ability. So once the master is not giving food to the slaves, so now the slaves are on their own. Their labor doesn't belong to him. It belongs to them. So if their labor belongs to them, he can negotiate on behalf of the adult slave, because the adult slave can hear and forgive, but not on behalf of the minor slave. What was the question, Rachamim?
Sounds like there's no child labor restrictions.
That's correct. There were no child labor restrictions.
Isn't it cruel, though? Because, I mean, even we sing an example.
Why cruel? They needed it.
I don't know what he's doing about the eating.
They needed it. People were desperate. They needed to eat.
Nowadays, or what's
they were desperate to eat.
Rabbi, they can't have both eat lunch and get paid too together? Or?
They could, but they wanted to get paid more by not being able to eat lunch. That was the deal. Said, I won't eat lunch, but you'll pay me more.
I'll work through lunch. You know,
they needed Trump to negotiate for them.
Maybe. We have Yochanan to Amar. So now the Gemara asks, according to this, Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that Yachal Arav, that her master can tell a slave, you keep working, and I'm not feeding you, but anyway, you need to keep working for me. So Shavik Masnisin, he's leaving a Mishnah, Vavid Kibraisa, and he's following a view of a Braisa. Ellis, you have to say the Kuli Al Mishal Shamaimu Ochel. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa believe that when a worker gets to eat lunch, it's a gift from heaven. V'lo matzi cuts it. And since it's a gift from heaven, the master doesn't have the ability to negotiate and say, okay, you'll pay us more for the labor of our slaves that are minors, because we're not going to get the fruits, because it doesn't have the rights to the fruits. It's a gift from heaven. Well, my code says to Reb Hoshea. So what did Reb Hoshea mean when he said in the Braisa that a master could negotiate on behalf of his slaves who are minors? It means like this. Not that instead of my slave being able to eat the lunch, you're going to give him more food, but it means like this, that mizonos, that the deal is that the master agrees that the employer will give food to these children, to these child laborers, before they even start working, so that they'll be full. And in that regard, they won't eat while they're working. They won't want a snack because they'll already be full. Asks the Gemara, De Kavasa Gabi Behemto, Teva Nakutzla. So does that mean that in regards to the animal, it's the same thing? It's a question of feeding the animal before it starts, but that's allowed. There's nothing wrong with feeding the animal before it starts. And the Braisa says that he can't make a deal on behalf of the animal. So rather, we have to say, no, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that a master can tell his slave, you keep working for me, even though I'm not going to give you food. The argument between the Mishnah and the Braisa about whether a master can renegotiate on behalf of the slave who's a minor is about the following. The Mar Savar Mishalohu Ochel. The Mishnah, who says that he can't, holds that min hashamayimu ochel, that the food that his laborer gets is a gift from heaven. The Braisa holds that he could negotiate on behalf of the child slave, is that mishalohu ochel, marasav mishal shamayimu ochel. The Braisa holds that that food is part of the wage, and since it's part of the wage, he as the owner of the slave is entitled to the labor of the slave, so he can be mochel and renegotiate that wage. So it comes out that the Mishnah, right, the bottom line is that the Mishnah is saying, min hashamayim u'ochel, which means that that is the halacha. The halacha is that this law that we've been learning about, that a slave is allowed to, I'm sorry, not a slave, a worker, and a slave too, but anyone, a worker working in the field is allowed to snack on the grapes. It's not that that's part of his wage, it's that Hashem is giving him a gift of those grapes. So since Hashem is giving him a gift, therefore, if we talk about the original case, if he says to the employer when he gets into the field, you know what, I don't want to eat anymore, I'm fine, my wife's going to come take the food, his wife can't. He doesn't have the right to waive it to the wife because it's not a wage, it's a gift from heaven. The gift was to him but not to his wife. And therefore, in the case of a slave, if he has a slave of his who's a minor, who's out in the field, and he says, well, we won't take the food, we'll just get paid a little bit more. He doesn't have the ability to do that. He doesn't have the ability to waive for the minor. For an adult slave, he can, because a person can be mochel, but for a minor, he can't.
Rabbi, is there any age limit on the minor for halachically?
To be able to work?
To be able to.
No, a minor can work in halacha, as Nadia pointed out.
4 years or 3 years
yeah.
old or whatever?
Yeah. Young child. Says the Mishnah. This is now the Mishnah which we were discussing till now. Kotzeitz Adam al Yedei Atzmo. A person can renegotiate and say, listen, I won't eat the grapes that I'm cutting, but you'll pay me a little bit more. Al Yedei Bno Bito Agdolim, or you'll pay my son, or you know, he says, my son and my daughter who are adults who work in the field, they won't eat, but they'll get paid a little bit more. He can do this for his slaves who are adults. He can do it for his wife. Why? Because they hear the deal and they agree to it. But if the child that he has in the field is a child of his who's a minor, so he can't make a deal for them. Nor can he make a deal on behalf of his slave who's a minor. Nor on behalf of his animal. Because they don't have das to be able to forgive. Asocher es hapolim lasos b'netta revai shalo. We saw this also quoted yesterday. If somebody hires workers and he puts them in a field which is all netta revai, which is food that's not yet kosher outside of Yerushalayim, it's only kosher in Yerushalayim, harelu lo yochlu. They can't eat from it because it's not kosher. However, im lo hodian, if he never told them, so that looks like a mekachtos, it looks like a false deal that he had. They thought they were going to get lunch, and now they can't get lunch. So now he has to make it able for them to get lunch. Poday needs to redeem the netter of ayum achilan and feed them. Similarly, as we saw again yesterday, nitparsu agulav, if there were rings of figs that had already become obligated in meiser, and then they had scattered, and he hires the workers to gather the figs together, nitpatru chaviosav, or he had barrels, and the barrels opened again, he hired the workers to close the barrels of the wine. The workers are not allowed to eat from it. They can't eat from that which is already obligated in Maaser. Lo hodiyam, but if he didn't tell them, so then Maaser, he needs to separate Maaser on these things, Umachilan, and allow them to eat. Shomrei peros ochlin mehilchos medina. People who are watching fruits, they are allowed to eat based on minhag medina, the custom of the place, of alomi din Torah, not from the Torah law that allows a worker to snack when he's engaged in the end of the work in the field. Asks the Gemara about this last line. Shomrei peros, those working the fruit, Amar Rav, those guarding the fruit, Amar Rav, Rav learned, lo shanu, we didn't say that a guard is not entitled mido oraisa to eat, Ela Shomrei ginosu pardesim, people who are watching orchards that are still attached to the ground, when it's early stage, it hasn't yet become at a stage when people who are working there actively would be able to eat. Avol Shomrei Gitos, but if somebody is watching a wine press, Varemos, or a pile of grain, Ochle Minat Torah, they are allowed to eat Minat Torah, not just based on Minhag Medina, the custom. Why? Because Rav is of the opinion, Meshamer Kosam Isadami. Even though the Torah talks about Kitavo Bekerem Reacha, when you come in as a worker, laboring in the vineyard, the Torah means that a guy who's watching is also a laborer. However, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel disagreed. Shmuel said, Lo Shanu, Ela Shomrei Gitos Varemos. It's the guards watching piles, that it's only based on the custom of the town that they can eat. Avol Shomrei Ginosu Pardesim, but guards who are watching an orchard where the fruits are still just growing, in an Ochlen Lo Minat Torah V'lo Milchus HaMedina, they can't eat, certainly not from the Torah, not even based on the custom. Because Kosavar Kashmulot, Meshamer Lav Kosem Isadami. If a guy's watching, that's not doing an act. So Masir Ravacha Bar Avuna, Ravacha Bar Avuna challenged from a law in Mesech in regards to Paraduma. We know that the people who do acts with the Paraduma, they become Tame. And we learned Tameshamer Sapara, if somebody is watching the ashes of the Paraduma, so mitami, and he's watching the para before it gets burned, after it was slaughtered, mitami begadim, he's now tame, his garments are tame. If you say that a guy watching is not doing an act, am I mitami begadim? Why is he tame? That's just a dindra banan, because maybe he will move the para, he will do an act, and since he might do an act, they already made him tame.
Rabbi, the watchman, does he have the same right as the laborer?
That's what we're struggling with. Is a watchman a laborer? Or is a watchman not a laborer? That's what we're struggling with.
How about an unpaid watchman?
Doesn't matter. Master Rav Kahana challenge, we learned, HaMeshamer Arba V'Chamesh Makshos, if a person is hired to watch 4 or 5 different cucumber fields, he shouldn't fill up his stomach from one cucumber field. He has to eat from each one because they're 5 different owners of the cucumber field. It's not fair. They all hired him together. It's not fair that only one of them should lose. They should all lose proportionally. Now, V'yamar, if you're going to tell me, Misham alav kosam isadami, that a guy watching is not doing an act, so am I ochel? Why is he entitled to eat at all? We're talking about cucumbers that were already uprooted, and therefore they're not, you know, early growth. Akun, if they're uprooted, hello nigra malachtan lemaiser, then already you also can't eat, because once they're uprooted, they're already obligated in maiser, and then a laborer can't eat from the grain that's already obligated in maiser. And so the gemara shalom nito pika shalem, their flour wasn't taken off, so they weren't yet obligated in maiser. Amar Ravashi said, Kavase de Shmuel Mistabra. I like Shmuel's point of view. It's not because we learned in the Mishnah of Elu Ochlim and Torah. Here are the ones who can eat biblically. Haoseb Mechuba Lakarka, a worker who's working in that which is attached to the ground. B'shas Gmar Malacha, during end stage labors. Ubetalush, even things that are detached from the ground before it became obligated in Meiser. Michlal, that implies the ika de lo ka'achil minat Torah. There's somebody who doesn't eat minat Torah. Ela mehilchos medina, but he does eat based on the minag of the medina. But then Amos say, if we read the end of the Mishnah, of elu shenen ochlin, these are those who don't eat. My inen ochlin, what does it mean that they don't eat? Elim shenen ochlin minat Torah, ela mehilchos medina, they don't eat from the Torah, they only eat from a halacha, hainu resh that was already mentioned. Elalav, what does it mean? Shein alochel lo minat Torah v'lo milchus medina. There are those who don't eat, neither minat Torah nor based on minhag medina. So, my new, and what is that? And that's what's then listed. Oseh b'machuba lakarka, a guy working in things attached to the ground, b'shoa she'en gmar melacha, at an early stage. So therefore, if a guy working in the ground at an early stage doesn't eat, so kol shekein shomer ginosu pardesel, so certainly those who are not even working, they're just watching the orchard at the early stage, are not entitled to eat even midrabanan. So now we have the next Mishnah, which is perhaps, you might say this Mishnah should have been the first Mishnah of the entire Masechta, because this Mishnah actually spells out the four different types of watchmen. Says the Mishnah, Arba, Shomer, Mehem. The Torah talks about four different types of watchmen. Shomer Chinam, an unpaid watchman. Hashoel, a borrower. No Se Sachar, a paid watchman. Hasocher, a renter. And a renter. Okay, there are different halachos. Shomer Chinam, an unpaid watchman, is only liable if he was negligent. So if it was stolen, if it went missing, if an act of God came that came and destroyed it, he just has to swear that that's what happened, and then he's exempt. So Nishbalakol, he swears for any of the claims, and then he is exempt. Hashoel, the borrower, is the opposite. Since he has all the benefits, and he's not giving anything to the lender, he gets usage, and the lender doesn't get anything. So he's fully responsible. Meshalim Esakol, he has to pay for all the different types of loss, for theft, for the animal going missing, for a loss by an act of God. Vinose Sachar, a paid watchman, Vasocher, and a renter. Nishbayin, they swear ala shvura vala shvuya. If they swear that it broke a leg, or that it got captured, vala mesa, or if it died, however, mashalim, but they have to pay a saveda if it went lost, or a sagneva if it was stolen. No, if he's a paid watchman, he's responsible if it was stolen, even though it wasn't negligence. Because it's a little bit of negligence. The fact that it's stolen is a little bit of negligence.
But if it's on theft?
And he doesn't have to pay, correct?
But we had this Mishnah before that.
No, we've had the laws, but we haven't had the Mishnah. Everything assumed that you already knew it, right? The Gemara was written assuming you already know the whole Gemara.
I thought it was a repetition.
No, we only get this Mishnah now. This is Tzadi Gimel. We're almost at the end of the Masechta. Masechta ends, I think, a Kuf Yud Ches. Kuf Yud Ches. We're page 93. And that's right. That's when the Mishnah, page 93, actually tells you that there are four different types of watchmen. The whole Masechta is dealing with it. Right? We're think about it. It used to be one big Masechta, right? There were 119 pages in Bava Kama. There are 92 pages we've already gone through. So you've gone through 200-something pages, and only now, oh, by the way, there are four different types of watchmen. Says the Gemara. Matana. Oh, only tzaddikim. Matana arba shomrim. Who's the Tana that there are four types of watchmen? Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Am Rabbi Ravu to be mayor he. I'm like Rav Nachman, Miika the Leslie Arbisham. What do you mean? Who's the Tana that says there are four guards? Everybody says there are four guards. I'm like, this is what my question was. Man Tana Socher Kenose Sachar. Who's the Tana of this Mishnah, of the four Shomrim, who holds that a renter is like a paid watchman who's responsible for theft and lost? That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said the opposite. The Tana looking at Bryce is Socher Ketzin Mishalim. How does a renter pay? Rabbi Meir Omer Keshomer Chinam. Rabbi Meir says he pays like an unpaid watchman. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Keshomer Sachar. Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Ravua Ipcha Katani. Rabbi Ravua had a different version of what Rabbi Meir said. His version was that Rabbi Meir says that the renter is like a paid watchman. Yachi, but still, why does the Mishnah call it Arba, four watchmen? Shloshin, and it's only three watchmen, because basically the renter is the same as the paid watchman. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, you're right. The renter has the same halachos. Arba shomrim, there are four shomrim. Dineim shlosha, with three different sets of halachos. A story. Ahu Raya, there was a shepherd, Avakaroi, Chiyusa, Gududinahar, Papa. He was leading the sheep on the banks of the Papa River. Sarik Chadaminai, one of the sheep slipped. Venaflus Lamai, and it fell into the water. Asalakami the Rabbah, so the owner came in front of Rabbah. Upatre, Rabbah said that the shepherd didn't have to pay. Amar, because Rabbah explained, my Havale Lamai, but what would we expect him to do? Hanatar Kedanatri Inchi. So even though he was a paid watchman, he's a shepherd, he said he did what everybody else does, and since he did what everybody else does, that's already considered a loss. That's onus gamur, completely act of God, and he's not responsible. Amalei Abayas, Abayas didn't like this. Abayas said to Rabbi Elameata, according to this halacha, let's say the shepherd would have left the whole flock when all the other shepherds leave the flock. and something happens to the flock. Achanami the Patrick, and they say he's exempt. I'm like, yeah, and he said, yeah, he'd be exempt. He said, Gan and Purta, let's see it fall asleep. Bidden the Gan and Inshu, and all the other shepherds are falling asleep. Achanami the Patrick, would he be exempt if a wolf came and ate from the sheep? I'm like, yeah, and he said, yes. So we have here an argument in Abaye and Rava. Rava holds that the definition of a Shomer Sachar means that the Shomer Sachar has to do what everybody else does. And if he did what everybody else does, and then there was a loss, that's like armed robbers. And Abaye says, no, he's responsible because he's being paid. He needs to do more. He's exempt for a complete something which is completely out of his control, but it wasn't out of his control. He needs to pay. Say, Svabaya challenged Rabba, we learned, Elu Hemonsin, Shomer Sachar, Pater Alem. These are examples where a paid watchman would be exempt. Gagon Ratipol Shvavatikachim, the Pasuk says that they came and told Eov, you know, the kingdom of Shva came and they fell on your children and they took them, and they took the possessions, Vasanar, Mikulufichar, and they killed your children. So that's what a Shomer Sachar is exempt for. But anything less than that, he's obligated. So it sounds like he's obligated in the case of, you know, the animal that he's watching slipping or him napping and somebody coming to grab when he's napping. Amar leis, Rabbi said to Abaye, Hasam b'chazani masa. There it was talking about watchmen who were hired by the city to be the guards at night. So they were hired explicitly to do more than normal. Esfei Abaye challenged Rabba from a brisa. The brisa says that Masa Shomer Sachar Chayav Lishmar. How much does a paid watchman need to watch? Ad Kedei to the level of what Yaakov told the sons of Lavan. Ayisi Vayom. I was by day Achalani Choriv consumed by heat, the Kerach Balayla and by the ice during the night. So you see, the Shomer Sachar needs to watch much more than what is normal for people. Amalei again. Rabba said to Abaye, Hasam Nami B'Chazani Masa. There was when there was an agreement to work harder than normal. Amalei, but at Yaakov Avinu Chazan Masav, was Yaakov Avinu a guard hired by the city? So explain. No, to Amalei, because Yaakov had told Lava, Natrilcha, I promised to work for you, the Tirusa Yaserta, a higher level of watching, Kechazane Masa, like the guards of the city. Eis ve'abaye challenged Rabba, we learned, Roesh Oya Roed, if there's a shepherd, again, that's a paid watchman who's watching the sheep, he's pasturing them. V'niach edro uvalair, and he left the flock and he came to the city. Bazev, and then a wolf came. V'taraf, and he ate some of the animals. Ba'ari, a lion came. V'daras, and it killed some of the animals. Ein omdim ilu hayasham hayamatzil. We don't say, well, had he been there, he certainly would have saved. El omdim oso, we evaluate him. Im hayayachol hatzil, if he would have been able to have pushed away the wolf and the lion, Chayiv, he has to pay, because he left, and therefore he was negligent. But if based on the details of that wolf and lion, he wouldn't have been able to save anyway, Pater, he is exempt. So my lav, to all bid and the island, presumably we're talking about a time when he went to the city, when everybody else goes to the city. And you see, nevertheless, he's responsible. So I said, lo, to all bid and the low anchi, the island inchi, he went in a time when people wouldn't go. Ihachi, if so. So when he left, am I Pater? So why is he exempt if he couldn't have saved? He began by being negligent, by leaving when he shouldn't have left. It ended up being something out of his control. He should still be chayiv. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi answered, Deshama kol arye. He left because he heard the sound of the lion coming. And that's why he ran away. And therefore, if it was something that he couldn't prevent, it's a big lion, so he's an anus and he is exempt. Okay, so we'll stop at this point.